Blog Talk Radio. Source Nation, and welcome to SRN Live Television on the BTV Television Network. I'm Teresa Hanna, and you are in the spotlight with me, Teresa Hanna. And I want to thank our very important sponsors who have made this show possible, and they are Paper 2 Film Productions, Renovations, and Meet My Tights Make Matchmaking. Zuliano Health, Wellness, and Fitness, Revolution Meals, and, of course, New Covenant of Praise Worship Center, Pastor Kenny Smith. Source Nation, if you would like to advertise on our brand new, that's right, spanking brand new television network, please contact Kathy B. at KathyLynn1971@gmail.com. Or TracyJeffcoat@gmail.com. I'm going to repeat that, okay, because I know you're out there and you're getting those pens ready and you're listening to me. You would contact for advertising on our brand new television network, KathyLynn1971@gmail.com. Or TracyJeffcoat@gmail.com. I am so excited today, Source Nation. You know what? I'm really excited because you're here with me, and we're in the spotlight, and you get a chance to help me turn the spotlight on right now. Let's turn it on. All right, the spotlight is on, and it's really bright. My spotlight guest is international acclaimed artist Kim Tibbs. Now, Kim has worked and or collaborated with artists and producers who work with legends in the entertainment industry, such as, and y'all get this, she's worked with or collaborated with the Rolling Stones, Beyonce, Madonna, Wayne Newton, Lady Gaga, Rod Stewart, Aretha Franklin, Little Richard, Liza Minnelli. I'm so tired. And there's a whole list to go, and many, many more. She has over 30 years of musical experience as an accomplished arranger, B3 organist, keyboardist, lyricist, pianist, producer, and songwriter. And I want to bring on my guest right now, the beautiful, the gorgeous, the talented Kim Tibbs. Kim?
Hello. Hello, hello.
Hello. How are you?
I am doing just so wonderful on this great Saturday. How are you and all the great listeners at Source Radio right now?
We're excited because you're here. We feel great today, don't we, Source Nation? They just said yes.
Cool.
I am so excited about your career and what you're doing. It's multifaceted. I really kind of wanted to start out with you telling us a little bit about your early background because that, to me, is so fascinating to have a father in your life who just planted marvelous seeds for your future. So tell us about your upbringing and the influence of your father, Sir Robert L. Tibbs.
Growing up, like most preacher's kids, as I call them. You know, we spent plenty of time in church, but my dad and my mom are both unique, as I come from two families that connectively everyone has great vocal ability. Everybody could sing, and a lot of my cousins were musicians. And so for me growing up, it's like my dad was my first real stepping stone toward training me as a musician, as a young musician. I can remember just as a young child playing for his church choir when he mm-hmm. was pastor of Blanche Chapel Missionary Baptist Church in a place called Delrose, Tennessee. And mm-hmm. so that's where I got my first stomping grounds as far as being able to play and feel confident in playing. And so my dad was very instrumental with allowing me to find my identity as a musician. And for the things that he couldn't teach me how to do, he would send me to the teachers or the persons that would be able to help me to get those done. I had a very, very solid background where we went to church, we went to the Bible studies, we went to the Sunday schools. So I think that early upbringing from him and my mom helped me to pretty much have a discipline where I knew during the week there's certain things that I had to get done because mm-hmm. we were going to go to church. But outside of church, you know, Dad still let me and my other siblings have our own lives and have our own personalities. And so for me, music was just something that I stuck with. You know, my sister and my brother and I, we all sung together. And we all learned how to play. It's just out of the three, I was the one that kind of stuck with it from a hobby then to a career. And so, but I have to thank my dad because he was instrumental with allowing me to have that moment to learn and to give mm-hmm. me the wings, I guess, to, you know, fly as far as I could fly at the time. And even more instrumental, my dad, his family, his immediate siblings all have a choir called the Tips Family Choir, which is here in North Alabama.
Wow.
And so my grandmother, who's deceased now, she was instrumental with being, I guess, what you consider the lead singer, so to speak, Margaret Harden.
Mm-hmm.
And so she would sing, and the siblings, my dad and his brothers and sisters, would be her background choir. And so out of that background choir, now I have probably close to 60, 70 family members that are still singing in that proposed choir today. And so that's, you know, that's just a background. I mean, if I'm not doing music, I'm up doing some music. If I'm not at a studio, I'm getting ready to go play somewhere. And it's just, it's a never-ending story. My 12-year-old, he's a phenomenal singer, but he's also playing trombone, and he's also gravitating to the drums and the organ. So it's like the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree in my family. We all just kind of have our own musical moment, so to speak.
All right, all right. Praise the Lord. Just a wise and loving father and mom, and a fantastic family that you have right now. And that brings me to a song that you've done. It seems like it honors those who encouraged and supported you, people like your mom and your dad and your family and others, even when others doubted you. I believe it's called A Building That'll Last. Can you tell us about that song?
Yes, The Building That'll Last is a song that I think is kind of like my personal journey. Everyone that's anywhere in music has had that infamous no. And
yes,
if you're a really, 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 really struggling musician, then this is that song, that one song that tells everyone, you know, even though I've gone through so many things, thank you for the ones that support me. Thank you for the ones that believe in me. And then also thank you to the ones that did not believe, because those no's, probably for those that continue to go on the journey, those no's actually allow you to move further on into where you're supposed to go. So a lot of times in my life, I can think of all those no's that I got, which actually helped me to get to a better opportunity. And so building that'll last is just like my moment to kind of say thank you for all of that.
All right. With that being said, very well, let's take a listen to this great song by Kim Tibbs, A Building That'll Last.
Mm-hmm. been a long road. Been told no after no. Your music's not good enough. Oh, we don't do that kind. Been to a million places. Mm-hmm. Seen a whole lot of faces. But I'll never forget the ones who helped me shine.
All right, Source Nation, you're in the spotlight with Teresa Hanna, and you just heard A Building That'll Last by my super guest, that's what I call her, Kim Tibbs. Kim, that is exactly beautiful, very beautiful. We thank you so much for that song.
Yeah, thank you. It was written with heart, so thank you.
Amen, amen. Now, the guidance that you received from your father also brought out a talent that you possess with the keyboard, and especially when you get on that Hammond organ. So today you are recognized worldwide as an official Hammond organ artist. Now, I know that every keyboardist and organist in the world would like to have this honor. How do you feel about this honor?
You know, it's humbling. I've never let titles or attachment or association go to my head. Honestly, at the end of the night, if I didn't have accolades or titles or degrees or anything, I would just be happy with being able to know I actually can play an organ. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. It's humbling to know I can pull up Hammond Organ USA site and see myself and see some of the accomplishments. But yeah, at the end of the day, again, it's just like I kind of feel like that God just really just appreciates how I seek his heart. So I think that that's the reason why he opened so many opportunities for me to be able to be where I need to be to catch the attention of the next door or the next person that I'm supposed to work with. Again, I'm humbled. There's not many females in the world that are known as artists, let alone as Hammond artists. And
that's right.
And, you know, in today's society, women in general, we don't really get the same opportunities as men. When we get them, we have to be that much more, I guess, more in tune with ourselves, more confident. We have to have more skill. And sometimes we have to be put in positions where we don't often get the opportunity of those guys, but have to do certain things that demean ourselves or demoralize our attempt at living life. So it's a blessing to me when I can just say, nope, I was asked to be because I was heard playing for such and such. No, I didn't have to, you know, traditionally, you know, people associate music with the drug, sex, and alcohol. No, I didn't have to do those things to get where I am, and I appreciate that moment.
Yeah.
So for me to be a Hammond artist, because it's not the only company I'm endorsed with. I'm endorsed with several other ones. But just to be known as this girl can actually play an organ, that sometimes makes an announcement that I don't have to make. Because I don't ever want to come across as the boastful person or the bragger or the person that has to be seen or you need to know me. I'm okay being in the background and have no problems doing that. But it's a blessing. It's humbling. And it's something I don't take lightly, and I thank God every day for that opportunity. So that's how I feel about it.
Amen. But, you know, you're so talented, and you're so accomplished. And, you know, we thank God for giving you, you know, those abilities because they're helping people in terms of healing our souls, our spirits, and sometimes even our bodies. But I want you to go back into some other things that have elevated you, and that's your educational background. Now, you hold several degrees. I won't say how many. There are many. But you have a doctorate of business administration in leadership. I feel that's impressive. How has your educational background weighed in on your career success? Has this had a definite influence on how you have risen in your career?
Well, I can definitely say that for what I do, most people don't have to have a degree for it. So for the listeners out there, don't feel pressed if you don't have a degree but you're a musician. However, when I have been approached by companies and they ask for my resume includes my education. That includes 7 degrees. You said you wouldn't mention it. I'll mention it. I'm working on the 7th one now. And so having that platform of education has helped me in many ways. It's helped me to incorporate myself as a real business. You know, it's more than just getting behind a keyboard or an organ and playing. It's more than just going into a studio and songwriting or recording with someone. there's business etiquette that we all have to do. There's things that we have to line up. There's publishing rights. There's royalties. There's different forms and formats that we have to do as a business. And there's also social media and marketing. There's things that you have to do in order to be known and seen. And so learning in the classroom has basically helped me to utilize the things that I use in the classroom in everyday life. I would have never known what an Instagram or Facebook fan page would do for my career had I not learned it in Marketing 101. I wouldn't have known about, bookkeeping and things as far as keeping myself ready for taxes if it hadn't been for financial management. I wouldn't learn about contracts and that sort had it not been for my business, legal business classes that I took. So there's different aspects of my education that I'm using every day within the music business and music industry. And it's also helped me to not have to get a third party to do so many things in my own business. Like, I could manage myself if I wanted to because I've taken the formal training to do it. But the thing is, there's a time and a place where you have to be realistic and you have to know what your time limits are. And so including the education has helped me to map out a plan of action that works for me that I can actually do around the clock consistently, where I work for Kim Tibbs Music every day, but also helps me to outsource to those that I need to outsource to when there is that moment. So there's things that you can do with your education. But, you know, for the listeners that don't have it, don't feel like you have to have it. Because, again, I'm one of those persons that I feel that people, if you keep living and you keep trying to seek God and you keep trying to do all that you can to be a part of his kingdom, he'll put you in the right place and put you with the right people and hook you into the right camps that will allow you to get elevation.
Yes, yes. Beautifully said. I want to switch hats just a minute because I also discovered that you are a fashion designer. You've been specializing in one-of-a-kind, bold, eclectic, and unique handcrafted pieces from women's fashions to household goods. I want to ask you, when did you realize that you possess this artistic talent, and how do you see your work in this area used for, especially for the empowerment of women all over the world?
You know, it was a few years back. I was getting ready for a photo shoot, and I was doing the typical shopping, and there was nothing that caught my eye. There was nothing there that said, "Kim, wear this during your photo shoot." And I wanted to have something that kind of resembled an Indian sari with the elements of what would be considered a wedding gown. Couldn't find it. So, and I prayed about it, and you know what? I feel like it was a voice that spoke to me and said, you know what, just go to a fabric store and pick out your fabric and you sew it. And so I took a chance 48 hours before a photo shoot, and I said, I want to have two eclectic items. And my mom is a witness to this. She literally helped me sew myself into one of those dresses. And I cannot tell you how overwhelming it was because it was exactly what I wanted. It looked so eclectic and different that to this day, people all over the world are like, where did you find that one item? And then from that moment, I said, you know what? Let me just keep going. So I just decided I'm going to keep creating. But what I ended up discovering was it wasn't just that I had an ability. In fact, I felt like my hands, anything that I touched, it felt like it was just turning to gold because I was finding ways to do new things, learning new techniques. And, you know, so my sister, who is just a sweetheart, but she ended up seeing, okay, well, Kim really wants to be a designer. So my sister took it upon herself and sent me an entire course to do fashion based off of a French fashion designer and a fashion school in Paris. And I took the course, I took the instructions, and I did everything that I was supposed to do, and I learned how to professionally do things. And so from that moment, I just said, you know what, I'm going to do a fashion line. I think people would appreciate it. And so for me, it's empowering for me because I'm an African-American female, and I don't have to have the doors, again, that I've been given. I don't have to have the opportunities that I've been given. But what I feel has happened is because I try to stay as positive as I can, because I try to do as good of a job as I can, I think that those moments alone allow me to keep getting the door and the opportunities, because people will tell somebody else about, hey, I went and I utilized this person's services and they were great. And so the reviews is what I'm getting, is why I feel like the doors have happened. As far as my fashion, I had one person who's an artist from the UK that has already worn one of my items, who loved
wow.
it. It was just amazing. It was interesting. I pulled it off my back. I said, hey, I sold this. You take it. And she still wears it. She's like, I just love it, you know. So you never know when you're going to be in a place where you can bless somebody else. And that's always my goal every day. How can I bless somebody else? It's not always about me, but how can I do something for somebody else? And so I just like what happens when I use my hands, whether it's music, whether it's fashion. People also don't know I actually know how to cook, too. So my son will, I mean, it's like when I get ready to cook, it's not normal cooking. Again, it's my hands. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just, I think I'm just the all-around person, but the connoisseur of hands, the hand ministry, I'll call it.
The hand ministry. Praise the Lord. In terms of your fashions, if someone wanted to see them or and be able to order from you, can they do that?
Yeah, they can do that. The only thing is, with how much is going on with my music, I feel like I'm spreading myself so thin. But If you go to my KimTipsMusic.com, you can see some of the pieces that that I'm wearing. Those are actual items that I have hand sewn. And I key highlighted some of those moments so that way people can know the eclectic thing that you're looking at is just not something you can buy in a store per se, but it is custom. So you can go to KimTipsMusic.com and just kind of view and see what you like, see what you think. And then also, I'm one of those where you have measurements already. It's always good, and then you have an idea of what it is that you want. I'm that type of person where we can kind of craft it and piece it together and get the look you're looking for.
You know, there's so much talk today about women. I think that we're moving into the age of the woman. You know, we kind of, you know, we're breaking out, especially women of color. Do you see this this line that you're creating being something that can be worn by women to increase our self-esteem, to make us feel better about ourselves? How do you feel about that?
I think that when I create anything, whether it's fashion, whether it's music, I feel like it's a moment of empowerment. I don't write songs that demean others. It's going to be very rare for me to write something that's going to have a hateful or hurtful tone. I live and strive in love and peace and joy. And so for me, I feel like today's society now, I feel like women have the runway where if they're ready to take off and do whatever their mindset says, it's the time that they can do it. We did not have that opportunity in the even all the way back as far as, like, it's the 20th century when we first started getting women's rights. And for the females of color, we still didn't start seeing those rights until, like, the 50s, 60s. And still to this day, we still have a lot of ground that I feel that we should be hoping to break ground in and making. But this, again, is the time where more and more you see different things taking place where anything is possible, you know. I don't think President Obama as a kid ever really, really imagined that, hey, I'm going to be the President of the United States one day. I don't think Meghan Markle realized one day she was going to be the Duchess of Sussex. But again, you do little things in your life called dreams. And when you elaborate on those dreams and you focus on them in your mindset, you basically put out that mental image as well as the energy to hopefully craft it back to you so that one day, if it doesn't happen today, it might happen 10, 20 years down the road, but it will happen, especially if you put the positive amount of work and energy going into it. It will happen. I tell myself every day, hey, Kim, you're going to be a professional songwriter. You're going to be this. You're going to be that. And mm-hmm. some of the things that I've spoken on for years have happened. I never knew that I was going to have a number one album and a UK soul chart. But things that I used to do many years ago is I used to study the patterns of Aretha Franklin and Otis Redding and Wilson Pickett and Al Green. I would study what did they do to get international successes. And little by little, mm-hmm. when I was looking at these artists and their backgrounds, I saw that they released music that took off in the UK. So in my mind, I knew, well, I've got to get to the UK some kind of a way. I've got to get my sound there. I've got to figure out how to cater to where soul music really, really took off for those artists that I feel are really noteworthy artists that I look up to in my own pathway. And so, again, when you mentally picture something, you research it, you think about it, you prepare for it, you act like it's there and it's happened, it will happen. And so for women in today, I think we need to have more women that are showcasing their lives, the good part
yeah.
of what they've done with their lives. I think, you know, yeah. we can see where women are starting to showcase where they're not trying to be hurt by men anymore. We see where, you know, women are coming out and they're speaking against hatred, against sexual inequality, against all kinds of activities. And it's good. It's time that we have a fresh start, a fresh slate, where everybody is equal. It's not about race. It's not about culture. It's all about equality. And I feel like this is the time where we all can have one voice that can be heard, whereas 10, 20 years ago, no. That's really – and I really feel like this is one of those moments where we're crafting our tomorrow. And with hopes that the tomorrow that we're crafting will be one that will be very plentiful, bountiful, and peaceful.
Amen, amen. That was masterfully said. I couldn't have put that any better. And I know that women listening, Source Nation, they're taking all of this into their minds and hearts and souls to do. I feel that it's time for us to move to another song. By you, Kim, and the song that I've chosen is one of my favorites by you. It's called Drifting. Will you introduce that song for us?
Drifting was that one moment where I just kind of needed that moment to check out. We all have bad breakups. We all have those relationships to end. But it was that moment that I just wanted to kind of speak subtly but heal. But also just get beyond the right now moment and move on to something else. And so I guess Drifting was about that one moment when it was a serious, if this has to end story for me so that I can get closure and peace. And so, but it's very, it's a modern throwback to again, good soul music for me.
All right, with that being said, and it was said well, let's listen to Drifting by Kim Tibbs.
Sometimes I need to get away from
Acclaimed artist Kim Tibbs. We're just listening to Drifting. Has sort of that 70s funk sound. I loved it. I loved it, Kim.
Thank you. Drifting is one of my favorites off the album.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Kim Tibbs, the artist. I think that you are a native of Huntsville, Alabama, which is really just down the street from me. I'm in a little community in Pulaski, Tennessee. But now you are a citizen of England and the world. How did the gospel music you were introduced to in your early years mix with your love for soul and especially the blues of Muscle Shoals in order to create your unique sound, Kim, and the messages of your song?
Everybody in music, I play one of those intricate instruments where organ just makes a song. I don't know. I've always made the analogy. Organ is like if you're going to make a sandwich. I've always considered the organ as the bottom layer of bread, because it just balances everything that you do in a song, from what a horn section would be doing, a bass note or a piano or drums. Organ just kind of is like the glue. And so for me, I was just able to perfect my own ear and just know the instrument. Like, I just know Hammond organ. I played it for so many years where you just kind of get used to it. It's almost like riding a bicycle. If you do it for so long, you just get used to it. And so for me, while working at country music or with R&B or soul, organ is just something that's just always been there. And so my love for gospel gave me a unique sound, because although I'm not a considered gospel artist, you just hear the gospel roots because that's all I played all my life. And going from there to the different genres of music, kind of people want that soul sound. And so when I go in the studio, whether it's with, like, again, country music, they just, they want that gospel sound. And it allows me to be able to be me. It allows me to play fluently the way I'm supposed to play as a musician. And so when I released music late 2016 in the fall, it allowed me to be able to be heard worldwide. I mean, it took me straight to London. The label that I'm currently under, Expansion Records, they approached me 2 years ago with a license for I Need You For Your Love. And I didn't know that at that point that I was actually getting ready to launch a career as a solo artist, because I was just wanting to put my sound out. I'd been in the backgrounds for many years working behind the scenes for artists. And so putting my sound out was just kind of like, okay, should I do it? I was second guessing. And so just doing it allowed me to be able to see that people around the world do appreciate it. And so going into the UK, the scene of music there is just so overwhelming that it's just amazing. I wish that American people could travel to Europe and just see the difference in how people treat artists, how they listen to the music, how they interact with musicians. And you might have okay material here, but over there, if you have a really good polished sound or a sound at all that is really likable, people will buy your merchandise and will support it. Radio announcers and DJs will support your sound. And so the love that I received there was just so overwhelming that it was almost like, you know, it's kind of crazy to not go if you have the opportunity. And so the opportunity arose to visit, which led to performances, which led to let's make a move. And it was probably one of the best things I'd ever done in my life, because for the first time I did something that I felt like was a dream. I always said I wanted to move to Europe, kind of like some of the pioneer musicians that I've followed, like the Quincy Jones or just many others that have gone to Europe to perfect their sound or to learn a different way of doing music and all. And so it's just really been helpful. So that gospel comes out of me every day.
Speaking about that gospel, Come On By is a torchy number. It tells about this song. It embodies that gospel influence harmony with blues. I simply love that. This song, Come On By, can you tell us a little bit about it? Because that's the next song I want to put in the spotlight.
Okay, Come On By actually is funny. It was supposed to be a song that I was writing for a country artist at the time. And right.
Interesting.
Come On By was supposed to be a country song. And but in the demo that I did, I sent that version. And when the artist got it, they were like, I love it as is. May I make a suggestion? Why don't you actually release this? And I was like, well, I didn't think about it, just because I was just trying to push off as a songwriter to somebody else of what things that I do. So Come On By for me was just, I wanted to do something that was a throwback on if Ray Charles was still alive, if B.B. King was still alive, what would the two of them do together? And that's kind of what happened. So that's how I came about with Come On By.
All right, let's take a listen to it. Come On By, by our spotlight artist, Kim Kidd.
Baby,
Kim, that was beautiful. Come on by. I tell you, that just touched me. Just a beautiful song. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, we are quickly running out of time here in the spotlight with Teresa Hannah, with Kim Tibbs. But I just need just a little bit more time because there were just a few things that I wanted to touch on before we leave this interview with you. And one happens to do with some of your projects and your media. If you could tell us just briefly, one of the projects I want you to tell us about is Luxury Soul 2018. Can you tell us about that briefly?
Yeah, Luxury Soul 2018 is a compilation that Expansion Records puts together every year for the top soul or R&B musical moments of the year. And so for both the years 2017 and 2018, I have had music featured on both of those compilations, and it comes out under Expansion Records. And that's a humbling moment. They don't pick just anything. And then usually what happens is they pick the songs that were pretty high ranked throughout the year, I guess, within the official UK Soul charts and different charts in Europe as well. And so the music that people kind of request in the different radio or even and considering that I'm under Expansion, they basically pick the songs that they feel like are the greatest responding songs that people actually play and purchase. And so My Better Side was featured on this year's Luxury Soul 2018, and that was also a number one on the UK Soul charts, which was really humbling again, just because I feel like I just like to do good music. Stuff that sounds good to me, I feel like hopefully might reach the ears of others. And so that's a humbling moment.
You do. Wonderful, wonderful. What about some of your movies or soundtracks, TV shows, some of those that you can share with us?
I have an active open contract again with NBC Universal, so I'm always forever pushing product that way or trying to get things featured. As far as soundtracks go, I'm currently doing some projects as we speak, source writing and trying to make Christmas music for one project that's coming up this year at the end of the year. And then also I have two other projects that I'm currently working on for original soul retro-infused music for next year. And so in the past, I've had things that was presented. Michelle Darnell, I had a soundtrack that was on that movie originally. Just, you know, whenever I can get my put my foot in the door, I always try to do whatever I can to give the person or the music publisher what is it that they're looking for exactly, and then walk away with a win-win situation, because that's another moment that I was able to give something to someone else that they stopped from me. So that's what's going on in the soundtrack world right now.
Amen. That's great. Are there other special events or upcoming concerts that we need to look forward to by Kim Tibbs?
Yes, I have right now. Well, first of all, I'm working on a double album right now called The Triumph of Completion. And so that's going to be slated later on in the year. A couple of new singles that's going to be coming out around the summertime. And I'm doing a European tour later on in the middle of September that's going to cover the UK in different parts. Also Croatia and also in France. And so just really all around, it's going to be really cool. I get to see some really new great faces. But again, it's just about playing music that I feel like people will be able to gravitate to. So I'm appreciative of that. Just having fun, treating life like what it's supposed to be, which is about peace, love, and harmony.
All right. Now, how can we follow you, those that want to purchase your product, or we need information of how to do that or how to get in touch with you for concerts and whatnot?
Okay, so the first place to find me is on my official website, which is www.kimtibbsmusic.com. The second thing is if persons want to purchase music, I'm on every downloadable platform between iTunes, I'm on SoundCloud, I'm on Spotify, I'm in the Amazon store, I'm even in Barnes & Noble. You can find me everywhere to purchase items. As far as keeping up with what's going on, I'm on Instagram, www.instagram.com/KimTibbsMusic. Also, mm-hmm. Facebook, my official Facebook page is www.facebook.com/KimTibbsMusic. And Twitter, if you are a Twitter user, @TibbsKim, @TibbsKim. And, yes. You know, just keep your eyes and ears open. I update. I just got back from the Music City Jazz Festival last night with my friends Nick Colion and the All-Stars from Chicago. So I'm always somewhere where there's music. It's always a never-ending story of music. So just keep your eyes and ears open as you never know. It's going to be a day where it's just going to pop out of the sky and I'm just going to have a bunch of new stuff waiting for everybody.
Well, we will do that. We will do that. And we want you to give also at this time to give a shout out to your family.
I'd like to shout my mom, who's out with my sister right now in the D.C. metro area, my brother and his wife in Charlotte, my 12-year-old, who's probably going to be very antsy and ready to go get something to eat in a little bit, and all of my fans and friends and family, those that follow me, thank you for the love, the support. And for
Source
just
Nation.
Keeping your, yeah, Source Nation, you guys have been very good to me. Just thank you for just keeping me in your radar. I don't take any of that lightly, and it's very humbling to be able to speak about what's going on and how things are going and what's next.
Oh, Kim, I have enjoyed so much this time with you in the spotlight with me, Teresa Hanna, and my wonderful, wonderful international star artist, Kim Tibbs. We're going to be saying goodbye, but before we do, there is one song that I love that my audience has just got to hear. It's called "I Need You for Your Love," and I want you to introduce that, and then I'll have a final statement, and then we'll go home. Okay?
"I Need You for Your Love" was what I wanted to give. Respects and pay respects to Quincy Jones and Stevie Wonder. Those are two artists that I just love because I love the ability and the musical, just the creativity that comes between those hands. And so I wanted something that was mid-tempo upbeat that gives people a moment to dance and that was very soul-infused. And I just wanted to give a good mark on what the introduction of my sound would be. So "I Need You for Your Love" is all of that and above.
All right. Thank you so much, Kim. We love you. We appreciate you. We're getting ready to play that. But before we do, I need to remind our Source Nation to find out more about who we are. Visit our website at www.yourbtv.info. And you can follow us on social network and Facebook and Twitter. And, of course, for those who want to advertise on our new television network, you must contact Kathy B. at KathyLynn1971@gmail.com or TracyJeffcoat@gmail.com. And then also I want to give a shout-out to the people that make me who I am, and that's Teresa Hanna and Associates, and you can contact us at 615-636-0657 if you need me to come for a particular program or to cover a particular event. You can also contact Axe Management, my management company, Felicia Knight. Call 404-432-7648. And with that being said, I love you, Source Nation. I love you, Kim Tibbs. May God bless you real good. Any final
remarks? Thank you. Thank you.
Final remarks, Kim.
I just really want to take the time to say thank you, everybody, for just supporting my sound and for being there to really go with me in the journey. It's been a journey.
All right. And with that being said,
We're going to close right now with this great song by my guest artist, Kim Tibbs, who has been in the spotlight with me, Teresa Hanna. I need you for your love, and that's true. Source Nation, we need you for your love. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yo.